This is Nightline on VOCM.
Welcome back to the program. I'm very excited about our next caller. Giselle Covari is president of NGEN, People Performance Incorporated. Giselle, welcome to VOCM Nightline. How are you?
Very well. Thanks, Jonathan, for having me.
Pleasure. I was unaware that yesterday was Take Your Kids to Work Day. That's because I don't have any. If I did, they'd be asleep during my nighttime radio program because it's from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Newfoundland Standard. So I missed out on this opportunity. But what I found interesting about your the information sent to our inbox here is that there's something called Generation Z and that they have a viability, a strong viability for the workplace coming up, something that we have not seen in terms of Generation X or Y, which, as well as the millennials, I suppose the millennials are in between the Y and the Z. They're not so attractive as workers, yes?
Well, maybe yes and no. Just a point of clarification, exactly. Gen Ys are now called millennials.
Oh.
So we wrote and did a lot of research around Gen Y, and then people started calling them millennials all the time, and it became a more popular term. So we just kind of said we updated our language because nobody calls it the information highway anymore, right? So it's sort of like that. But, millennials and Gen Ys are the same thing.
Okay.
And I'm an Xer, and, you know, certainly as Xers, I think we had a tough time when we came out in the marketplace. People weren't saying really great things about us either, and that's sort of common with every generation. Those that are older look back and say, oh my goodness, what do these young people know? They don't know anything. But we have seen in this study some really interesting insights.
I'm excited that we're about, first of all, before we go into the results of the study, I have a very interesting question, I think, for you. Like hurricanes and tornadoes, they go from A to Z. What do we do for the next generation? Is it Z prime? Is it Z beta? Or do we go to A?
I know. My husband asked me that. I said, why are you asking me? Because Gen Z right now are between 21 and 5. Mm-hmm. So we've got a long time before we have to come up with that answer. And you know what? I don't know. We wrote about this generation almost 5 years ago. We didn't call them Gen Z at the time. We had another term for them. We called them the global generation, the globes. And sometimes there's other folks who've written about it, and they called it the I generation. There's sometimes terms that come up, and then eventually one term gets picked up. It gets picked up by the media. Someone writes a book about it, and it becomes what everyone rallies around. So I have no clue what we would call the next one. This generation is between 1996 and 2012. Mm-hmm. Some people say it might go as long as 2015. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We've got a long time to worry about that.
Fascinating.
But I certainly hope we don't keep with the alphabet anymore because it we can need something a little more creative.
I'm with you there. And I'm also very excited that one of the qualities that we are going to expect from this particular generation is that they value security and loyalty in the workplace. I'm in my mid-40s, and I come from the reality that everything is now considered, talk about making up terms, it's now considered a side hustle. And we live in a contract world where there is no permanent work anymore. So does that mean that this is going to change, Giselle?
Well, you know, I don't know, but I think that what's interesting is that exactly that side hustle, the gig economy, people working on contract, people wanting to make sure they have a lot of flexibility. Mm-hmm. This is a generation that's saying, you know what, we actually want to go somewhere and be able to hang up our hat for a while. 85% of them said they want a job they can stay up for a long time, and 89% said they want a secure job as one of their top priorities. So actually, this is a good news story for a lot of employers. I mean, I work with large and medium-sized employers across North America and globally, and a lot of them say, we want to bring somebody in after all the time and money we spend to recruit them. We want to keep them, and we want to give them a different career path throughout our organization. So big employers say, you don't have to leave our company. We can find different things for you to do.
Wow.
So I think that in that way, it's going to be a great fit. I don't think this means that this generation is going to martyr themselves and that they're going to stay with an organization forever if they're not enjoying it, if they're not learning and growing. Mm-hmm. Again, 89% said allowing them to develop new skills is a top priority. They want to work for industries where they believe that industry has, you know, good sort of values that align with their own values, that they have to be sort of a trustworthy type company. So it'll be interesting. But the side hustle, I don't know if that'll go away either, because I write about it in our white paper around the fact that this is a generation who has had to be really pragmatic, and they have to be realistic. And so they're focusing on making money and saving. So maybe it is Airbnb for your place when you're not there, or you're doing Uber, or again, whatever your side hustle is, you do that. but that might be in conjunction to having a stable job.
Fascinating. And I don't turn away from the idea of a side hustle because, well, that's how I live. But it's also, it keeps you interested. Now, there's nothing mm-hmm. wrong with sitting down and reading a book from cover to cover. But I think it's more exciting to read a few chapters and then go do something. And then come back to the book knowing that your bills are paid.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that sort of part about just being able to take a little piece of the information and then apply it is also what this generation is about. They're the do-it-yourself generation. So 59% of them are raised in our study, so they're being raised by Gen X parents. So again, it's our generation that is raising this next future workforce. And I think that brings with some different kind of perspectives and that need to be more independent and to figure out how to do things yourself. 71% of them said that they go to YouTube every single day. In fact, I thought that might even be higher.
Really?
They go to YouTube because they can not just watch entertaining things, they can learn stuff. Like you said, why do you have to go read a book cover to cover? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've written a couple books. Who reads books, right? Why, you can go online, you can find out something, and then you can go apply it right away.
It's true. I've gone to YouTube for recipes, for example, complicated procedures that mm-hmm. you don't necessarily want to muck up if you're trying to impress your family or friends or even yourself. It's always good to take multiple perspectives, and I love that idea. What I also I'd like to ask you that according to your research, 67% of respondents believe that when they are about to get a new job, they're going to feel lucky to secure that job, as opposed to the opposite, where they think that the employer should feel lucky to have them. Does that mean that the generation preceding believes that everyone should provide them with a bed of roses? I'm trying to read through the lines here. What's going on?
Read through the lines. Mm. Yeah. What are we saying there? Well, I don't think it's that they wanted to be given a bed of roses, but certainly the millennials came out into the workforce with much more demanding expectations than organizations were ready for. So managers and recruiters would say to me, you know, I'm interviewing a millennial and I don't know who's interviewing whom here, right? I'm being put on the hot seat. They're saying, oh, you know, tell me what you're going to do for me right now.
Wow.
And so a lot of managers said, a lot of leaders, a lot of organizations said, you know, we're not sure how to manage this properly. Uh-huh. And what this data suggests is that we might see a pullback from that, from Gen Z.
Okay.
That when, you know, the millennials are more like, you're lucky to hire me. I'm, you know, I'm great. I've got all these great skills. And they are in lots of ways. I mean, they're scary smart, they're innovative and creative. The millennials bring a lot of great energy to organizations. Mm-hmm. This is not a way to put millennials down. But they came in with high expectations around career development, how fast they could be promoted, what they could do, how, you know, they want to do amazing things on day one, not week one or month one or year one. And so I think we might see a bit of a pullback from that, that the Gen Zs are going to understand to work within the system. 84% of them said they think it's important to follow company rules. And they also think that it's important to do what your boss tells you to do. Almost 75% of people said, I think it's important to do what my boss tells me to do. So that is a bit of a departure.
Welcome back, Cotter. I love it. This is this. I think this is a great idea because, you know, structure is important, darn it all. And this, to me, shows that perhaps the value systems are being recalibrated throughout the education system to lead them into the workforce, that we're seeing this type of behavior or expectation coming from this particular generation. Giselle, this sounds like fascinating work. So you publish books as well, do you?
Yes, I mean, I've been in this space for 15 years. Engine has been generational experts in Canada and working North American wide and globally since 2003. So I've written two books on this topic, on generational differences broadly and around leadership. And so I'm well steeped in this area and really find it fascinating. And for the longest time, we were talking about four generations, the traditionalists, the baby boomers, the Gen Xers, and as I said, Gen Y are now millennials.
Right.
And now we've got a fifth one. We've got Gen Z to add into the mix. So there's always something new, and it's really fascinating and interesting. And we did this as the first Canada's national survey on Gen Z because we couldn't find any Canadian data.
Wild. And your white papers and articles, I noticed that they're available on the website, ngenperformance.com. That is the letter N, folks, and G-E-N as in generation. Are they, do you have to subscribe as one of your client groups, or are your white papers available for reading?
No, absolutely. Our white papers are available. It's, as you mentioned, ngenperformance.com/GenZ. If you go there, you'll see some information that we've posted. We have an infographic. We have a white paper that I co-authored with Dr. Robert Pearson. And on our site, we've got all kinds of things. I write a blog every other week. It's posted. There's all kinds of free content to download.
Amazing. I'll have a look. And thank you very much for this conversation. I think it's absolutely fascinating. I have to ask one last question. When I did my undergraduate, it was in political science and political philosophy. And one of the folks that we studied was Heidegger. And he looks at, resources as a standing reserve. And to me, that was the 80 years before, we looked at human beings as human resources. You know, the idea that when you look at a forest, you look at a lumberyard potential. Or when you see a river, you envision a dam and the energy that it can produce. We live in the age where we consider people resources. And do you think that is do you think that this is productive, or do you think it is harmful to the idea that we create a human workspace?
Well, that's a deep question, Jonathan. More something we'd probably chat about over a beer, but
loving it.
And in a quick response, we use the term human resources.
Yeah.
I think that in general, what everyone in the HR space, the human resource space, is trying to say is, you know, the people that we have within our businesses, doesn't matter whether it is a lumberyard or a coal mine or a manufacturer or a bank or a retailer, that they are our greatest asset. And so how do we leverage what's called often human capital, right, or our talent base? And I think that is good. I think we need to look at our workforce as that most important resource, because nothing can happen if we don't have the people to run it. Your radio station and my business and every organization relies on people. Maybe in the future we won't, right? Maybe we'll have artificial intelligence doing everything for us and robots. But even then, we're going to be involved in some capacity to add something to it. So it's really about drawing out what we say is maximize the skill sets of the different generations we have in our teams in order to drive the greatest performance, productivity, and collaboration.
Excellent. Well, listen, next time I'm in Toronto, I'll look you up for that philosophical beverage.
Absolutely.
Until then, I hope that this is the first of many conversations. I'm thoroughly engaged and interested in what else we can discuss. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thank you. Look forward to chatting again.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Giselle Covari of NGen Performance. They do a lot of interesting things according to their website. I'm curious to learn more. We're going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
VOCM's Nightline. Call now. 273-5211 or 1-888-590-VOCM.